Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power,
fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
Thursday night's Off the Ball. It is 7:30, so it's time to talk to John Giles. We will keep you updated as well, by the way, with Dundalk. That gets underway in the next couple of minutes. But John is with us on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
Still locked down?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
Well locked down. Well locked down, Nathan. Yeah.
Still, at least there's plenty of football to keep us entertained.
Yes, yeah, plenty of football.
Any amount of football. How do you find that, actually? Because obviously we're in a situation where they've decided again to show every single match, which means you can find yourself watching 10 matches over the course of the weekend. Are you doing that? Are you watching everything? Or do you have your fill of it after a while?
No. I watch all the matches, Nathan, but I break them up a bit. I tape a couple.
Oh, okay.
And catch them. I find it a lot if it's four in the one day or that, you know. Whereas I'd tape at least one of them and then get up in the morning and watch it through. Because I find it hard to keep the concentration going, Nathan.
Yeah, it's a long old Saturday if you're starting at 12:30 and you're not finishing until 10:00 watching four football matches.
Yeah.
It's been good since the restart as well, I guess, since the start of the new season compared to the initial restart, and that all these games now really do matter, whereas we knew that Liverpool were going to win the title. So you're now looking at Liverpool and Manchester City and the relentless nature of the title race. They need to win games and need to keep winning games. And Manchester City, a very, very early setback. You called it last week in that victory over Wolves that you felt there were signs in the second half that were maybe similar to last season in terms of attitude, in terms of the problems that were there last season were still there. Did that really come home to roost at the weekend against Leicester?
Oh, I think so, Nathan. I think it's serious stuff for Manchester City. I think what I said last week in the Wolves match when they won, I think a lot of the headlines in the paper were City are back and that. And to be honest, I didn't think so on the night. I think I said when they were good, they were very good. And when they were bad, they were very bad. Mm. So there's not a consistency about them, Nathan. But against Leicester, I mean, they got it right, hiding. And I can't see it working out for them because on the night, in the middle of the field, they had Fernandinho and Rodri.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Fernandinho's been a good player for him, Nathan, but I think in the position, he was never a creative player. He was a good middle-of-the-field man, getting his tackles in. But I don't think he's doing that now. And I don't think Rodri can do it. When I see them play, it's very, very predictable, Rodri, the way he plays. And what I find about them playing now, when they had David Silva and Aguero in the team and company and Bernard Silva, they could take people on. I'm talking about the forward players now. Whereas if you look at Manchester City now, where most of the good play is finishing, either Mendy or Walker the other day. And they're not going to beat anybody, Nathan. So what's happening is they stop, come back across the pitch, and it gives all the teams they're playing against plenty of time to get organised. And then when they get at the back, when you do that, then the back players are invited to come forward. And when they get the other team on the counter attack, they're really in trouble. And I can't see that changing.
Right.
I can't see Rodri. I can't see the middle of the field being creative at all. And they have missed a lot of the players that were key players to them.
Well, that's interesting because last week what I almost took away from talking to you was that maybe the Wolves' second half was as much an attitude issue, whereas what you're talking about there is very much tactical and personnel, that the way they're approaching the game and the way they're trying to approach the game with the players that they have isn't good enough right now.
No, it's not going to be successful now. I don't think so, because they don't have the players that they had. Mm. And I think what's happened, obviously, Pep Guardiola, that's his way of playing, right? But if that's his way of playing, like all managers have a style and a way that they want to play. But they have to fit. Have to get the players in to fit those particular situations that they want. Now, I don't think Guardiola has got the players in now to fulfil his philosophy.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying, Nathan?
But,
like when he had Aguero and company and David Silva, you know, Fernandinho at his best, Bernard Silva. These guys are the players that he wanted him to play, but he hasn't actually replaced those players. Actually, his dealings in the transfer market in the last year or two haven't been good.
And
so
he didn't sign those players.
At the moment, it's what he has, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because when you're going through those players, and for so long of that brilliant Manchester City team of the first couple of seasons, like the spine of it was Kompany, Fernandinho, David Silva, Sergio Aguero. And Guardiola didn't sign any of those players.
No, but he made the most of what he did when he had them.
Mm.
So, but what I'm saying, those players fitted the philosophy that he has of playing. You know, all managers have a philosophy of the way they want the team to play, and what they do is to get the players in they want to fulfil, if that's the right word, their philosophy. Now, I think obviously when he went there first, he did have the players at their peak to do what he needed to do. But that's the way he wanted to play. But that's a few years ago.
But he seems to have a lot of control, John. And like something you talk about a lot is that the managers need to be in charge of the players who come in and come out. And though Manchester City have a director of football above him, he's very much Pep Guardiola's man. They come together, they were together at Barcelona, they work very well. So you suspect that Guardiola has a huge influence on the players that are coming in.
Yes,
and they've
definitely
spent any amount of money. So how's he getting it so wrong?
And it hasn't been good, Nathan.
Mm.
That's the point I'm trying to make. You know, obviously, I think he's got the players in that he wanted. I think they've been good to him in that particular way. But the fact is, then you'd have to call his judgment into question. But that's the way it goes. I mean, that's the way it is. That's the great thing about football. Everything, whether it be a fault or a good thing, manifests itself on the pitch. And what we see, and I'm only giving you my opinion on it with Manchester City, when I see them in the night and the positions that they're in, that their attacking positions end up with Mendy and Walker.
Mm.
And if they don't go past people, Nathan, they're okay, but they don't go past people. So what happens is, it comes to Walker, he comes inside, and it goes back across the pitch again. Goes to Mendy, comes back across the pitch again. Now, when they were at their best, you had the players that I mentioned there, whether it be Aguero and David Silva and that, and you also had the players that they have now. Sterling is still there. He could do it as well.
Mm.
But if you've got, you know, Rodri in the middle of the field, Fernandinho in the middle of the field, they're not going to open it up, Nathan, to get the players in that you want. I mean, the fullbacks should be coming. Like, if you look at Liverpool, for example, the fullbacks make a lot of goals and they're very, very successful in doing it. But when they receive the ball, it's ready for a cross. They don't have to be players or anything, Nathan.
Yeah.
Now, whereas you look at Manchester City, ball goes out to Mendy, and he's playing terrible anyway. He can't beat anybody. Walker can't beat anybody. So you're starting from scratch all the time because the players that he needs in those positions are not there.
Like you mentioned Bernardo Silva. He is still there, and Sterling's still there, and all right, they have an injury problem up front where Aguero's not back and Gabriel Jesus is going to be out for the next few weeks.
Yes.
It still almost seems quite a negative selection from City if they go with both Rodri and Fernandinho in the middle of midfield. Like, surely one of them should be able to do the job that he's expecting the two of them to do.
Yeah, but who have they got, Nathan?
Mm.
I know Bernard Silva is injured, right? But David Silva's gone, Kompany's gone, will Aguero come back? But if you have him in the middle field, Rodri and Fernandinho in the middle of the field. I mean, Fernandinho a couple of years ago was good at what he did. I don't think he can do it anymore. And that's not being creative. That's being a defensive midfield player. But I don't think, and I said to you last week, I don't think De Bruyne is capable of doing what's needed to be done there. You know, he needs a midfield player to get the ball to him into positions where he's at his best. But Rodri is not going to do that, and Fernandinho is not going to do that, as far as De Bruyne is concerned.
So, what is Rodri doing?
Well,
as a midfield player, what's he doing?
He passes it from A to B. Mm. Nathan, we haven't seen that much of him, but have you ever seen him ever beat a player? Never. I've never seen him beat a player yet in the middle of the field. Sometimes you've got to do that, and what he's doing, he passes, gets it. He passes it from the Mendy, gets it back, gives it to somebody, but they're not telling passes that you need from somebody in the middle of the field that can go past people or pick out a pass or a long pass. And if you think about him playing, I've never seen him do that.
Would you have been worried about what he had to say after the match as well, when Leicester, more than outplayed them after the first half an hour in particular, and they score 5 goals, so you can't question that they deserve to win the game. He said, this is Rodri after the match, football hasn't been fair with us, we deserve many things, we played, we tried, only with a few things, they came here to do 2 or 3 things and they beat us. I don't know if it's our fault or their strength. I'm young and I'm trying to learn. But games like this, when the opponent does nothing but wait, even when you're winning, you're a bit confused and you don't know what to do. He's 24. He'd want to figure that out by now.
He's an international player that they paid $60 million for, and he doesn't know what to do, Nathan. And he's probably telling the truth. Mm. but he should know what to do. That's his worry. He's a professional footballer. He's out there, and if players are sitting back doing what they're doing, which Leicester did, they're entitled to do what they want. Then he gets on the ball, and if he's doing his real stuff, and you see when they're backing up, or playing deep, Leicester. Well, if he beats his opposing midfield player, Nathan, now he's got them opened up. But he doesn't do that. He passes in front of it and now gives, and doing that, then he's playing into Leicester's hands, because all they do is back up behind the ball. And then by the time he's finished playing, the ball finishes up at Mendy, who's not going to beat anybody. And Walker's not going to beat anybody. Because that's what you have a team for. Like Manchester United at their best, they had Giggs wide and they had Beckham wide. Mm. So the likes of Keane and Scholes would do the stuff, get it out to them. Now they're expected to do what they need to do, which is to either beat a player, get a good cross in, and do it. But Manchester City, when they play now, because of what Rodri doesn't do and Fernandinho doesn't do, it ends up with the fullbacks in the winger's position or the forward's position. So they can't beat anybody again. So now you start all over again. So the likes of Leicester it wasn't difficult to defend against Manchester City. Actually, in the first half particularly, I don't think they got a shot in the match, and you never will do if you keep playing like that. And it was very similar to the way they played in the Champions League in the summer there, Nathan. Mm. That's the way it is. He's got to get... I know they've got players missing and they've got good players missing, but I can't see anywhere they're going to challenge Liverpool at all.
Just on Leicester then, because we should mention them, they are top of the league on goal difference at the moment. And Brendan Rodgers, well, he's never shy after a match like that and a victory like that in discussing how he did it. But he did seem to be talking in a more mature way and setting his side up in a mature way of, we like to play attacking football, but we did actually set up a bit more defensive than usual and we got them on the counter-attack and our game plan worked to perfection. They faded dramatically at the end of last season, but it does look as though he's on the verge of really achieving something with that group of players.
He's done it very, very well, Nathan, we know that. But I think Brendan has a reputation of sometimes talking too much after the match. I think he had that at Liverpool. And probably the other day did a little bit of talking too much as well when he talked about my tactics and this. He doesn't have to say anything. The team do it for him, and people can see what's happening. You don't have to go into detail for it. But I think he's a good lad, and I think he's done a good job wherever he's been. And he's got some very good players at Leicester. I mean, Vardy is still terrific.
Yeah.
Nathan.
33
still
now.
Terrific. I know he stopped playing for the England team because he wasn't being picked as often as he should. But him and Harry Kane should have been an ideal partnership up front. And he's still doing it. He's a good attitude, Vardy, as we can see.
Yeah.
And I'd say Brendan would be good for him as well. I think he is getting the best out of him.
Is he the type of forward you would have liked to have played behind?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, he's a good runner off the ball. Mm. He's unselfish. He's a good finisher. He's exceptionally quick, Nathan. Exceptionally quick. So that pace gives him the time when he does get through behind the defenders to do what's needed to be done. Really good. But he's got some very good players, Brendan. And he's got a couple of good players to come in into the team. I think there's a couple injured. But I think they've recruited well. And he's done a good job, a very, very good job. But I wouldn't see them as being challengers to Liverpool by a long way. But who is? Mm. I can't see anybody going to challenge Liverpool.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Liverpool in a moment. We do need to take a quick break. Just an update on the live football. Still scoreless at the Aviva Stadium in the game between Dundalk and Clonmacnoise. There's 12 minutes gone there. Also scoreless in Celtic's game away at Sarajevo. They're almost at half-time in that one, and they're just getting underway between Liverpool and Arsenal. Stoke 1-0 up away against Aston Villa in the Carabao Cup. So we'll keep you up to date across the evening on that. But John Giles is live with us this evening, 53106, if you want to get in touch.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See Dunluey.net.
Let's go across to the Aviva Stadium. Will O'Callaghan watching Dundalk in their Europa League qualifier. What's the latest, Will?
Just over a quarter of an hour gone at this stage, Nathan, and it's really playing out with the pattern we probably would have expected beforehand. Dundalk have been in control of the ball for the best part, but we will remember that KI last week in the Faroe Islands had 30% of the ball and scored six goals. They haven't looked as potent on the counter-attack against this Dundalk team, who've left their two full-backs pretty far back to guard against counter-attacks so far. The joy for Dundalk, really, Nathan, is coming down the right-hand side, the left side of the KI defence, and you know they've had a couple of times where Stefan Kolovic has been able to get in behind, and he pulled in a cross in the third minute, but was just behind Patrick Hoop, and he had to stoop slightly, and as a result his header was kind of tame and directed just wide. And then the best chance Dundalk have had in the game came about 90 seconds later, when Patrick McElhaney picked up the ball deep in midfield, ran through, broke a couple of tackles, decent shot off his right foot, and it brought a save out of the goalkeeper for KI, Christian Johansson. So I think Dundalk could be happy enough with the work they've put in here in the first 16 minutes or so, but not either side have come really that close to making a breakthrough so far.
All right, thanks a lot for that, Will. Celtic still scoreless in Sarajevo, approaching half time in their game. John Giles is with us live, 53106, the text number. John, we might talk about Liverpool then, because pre-season I know you felt that they were going to go on and defend the title, but you spoke a lot about attitude and maybe not knowing for a little bit just how their attitude would be about going back to back. It really did seem to be spot on in that win against Arsenal on Monday night.
Oh, yeah, I thought they played well, really well, Nathan. Arsenal have improved, as we know, but I think they were outclassed in the end.
It was quite stark, the difference, having seen Manchester City on Sunday. And maybe it's based upon results, but watching, say, someone like Fabinho in particular in that central midfield role, the amount of running he did, just closing down little alleyways, just making sure that there was no space for Arsenal, whatever they got on the counter-attack, that this is a team putting in maximum effort right from the start, that there's no way they're resting on their laurels in any way.
No, not at all. I can't see anybody stopping them, Nathan. I can't see anybody getting near them. But you know, they've got good players all over the pitch, with the right attitude. And again, if you see them, I'll go back just to Manchester City a little bit. When their fullbacks get into the, or when they're playing well, whatever way they play, and they mix it up and do all the things they do, it's a lot of the finishes up with Robertson. Mm. And the right back, Alexander, getting in those positions. But they don't have to beat anybody, Nathan. They're good crosses of the ball, really, really good crosses of the ball. But it's open for them, the way Manchester City play, because they cut the teams up in a different part of the pitch. You know, so when they get into that position, plus all the other players that they have, and they're bringing players in.
It's the quality of the crossing from the two fullbacks from Liverpool that seems to separate them.
Yes.
Is that a relatively new phenomenon, to expect your fullbacks to be that good?
Yes. I'm going back to my day. It was a long time ago. We had two good, really good backs, Paul Rini and Terry Cooper. Terry Cooper was, but they would come into it in the right situation, Nathan. Not quite as often as the Liverpool players do. Because the system, they had the system. Now they're wing backs. In my day, they were full backs. But they would come into play at the right time. But they wouldn't come into play as often as the Liverpool players. And they certainly wouldn't make as many goals. Like, but in the old days, like I'm talking about Leeds, we had Peter Lorimer on the right wing and Eddie Gray on the left wing. They didn't have to do it because they'd be doing most of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Liverpool, Robertson and Alexander, very, very, obviously very, very good at you. But they're freed by the time the ball comes to them, Nathan. You very, very seldom see them get on the ball, come inside, and go square. They're usually in a good open position to have a look up and get their cross in, which is brilliant from Liverpool's point of view. But I can only see Liverpool getting stronger.
Jurgen Klopp isn't listening, so you can answer honestly, John. Were they sloppy?
I think actually what Roy Keane was saying, he described it as sloppy. I think it meant when Lacazette got through twice. Mm. And that was from what was the old offside trap. Like, now it's called a high line.
Yeah.
Right. So I think he could have been more critical in saying this high line is not good, which it's not. And Liverpool do play it a lot, but because they're on top so much, they're not exposed to it. But they're exposed now and again, and they were exposed twice on the night. I think it was Lacazette got through. So they weren't being sloppy. I think it's a bad system to be playing.
But he was offside for one of them, John. So is that not actually just really good defending, that they're keeping their offside trap to perfection? So even though play continues...
You cannot get an offside trap to perfection. It's impossible to do it in football. Mm. Now, he was offside once, but was he offside the second time?
No.
No. And how many times have we seen Liverpool in that position where somebody does get through and they're not offside? In other words, it should never happen, Nathan.
Yeah.
It should never happen. So I think Liverpool, and especially with Liverpool, they have the defenders with Van Dijk and Gomez who are quick. They're all quick. And it's a risky thing. When you put your hand up for offside, you don't know. And they've been caught now and again because somebody, somewhere, just goes to sleep for the half yard, the half second, and the through. And there's no need to do it, especially from Liverpool's with the players that they have. So I don't describe it as sloppy. I think they were being kind to him. But I think what happened with Klopp was that he didn't hear what Roy Keane said. He heard the word sloppy. But actually, Keane was very, very, very good to the Liverpool team in terms of he said they were played really well, and they were quite rightly too. I thought Liverpool were excellent the other night. But I think he just had the word sloppy, and actually Carragher said sloppy as well. I think he might be more annoyed if Roy Keane had gone into a little bit more detail about playing this high line.
Do you like that spikiness from Klopp?
I don't think it's needed. No, no. I mean, he didn't hear what Roy Keane said for a start. All he had was word sloppy, and then all he could have said, "What do you mean by sloppy?" You know, like he said, we were great, we were this, we were like, okay. So, but that it doesn't mean that Lacazette didn't have a chance in the match. And the word sloppy, I mean, that's not being very critical, is it? Being a bit sloppy. But he didn't hear what Roy Keane said. I mean, he took it out of... He took the wrong meaning from it in many ways, because Roy Keane said, oh, Liverpool were really terrific tonight, and they were sloppy a couple of times, which they were. Yeah. Actually, it was worse than sloppy.
It almost seemed Ferguson-esque that he was sort of gunning for a fight and, well, being out there defending his team no matter what is the message he wanted to get across.
Well, I can understand that, but Ferguson wasn't always right in his behaviour.
I didn't say he was right.
Well, I mean, touchy.
Yeah.
Touchy, to say the least. Well, Klopp was wrong, because he pulled up Keane for saying something that wasn't at all met in the right way. I mean, Keane said they were a bit sloppy on a couple of occasions, but they played exceptionally well. They were really, really good tonight. He didn't hear that. All he heard was sloppy. You know, asked Roy Keane, well, what do you mean by sloppy?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, that's by the way.
That high line, John.
A lot of managers are very touchy, Nathan. Yeah. I think he was too touchy in that situation.
Yeah. Maybe
anyway,
we'll see.
No big deal.
No. It was probably ended up being blown slightly out of proportion, as these things are. Just to go back to that high line then, and the way Liverpool play, Klopp obviously feels the risk is worth it. When you watch the way they play and the way they try and push teams back so far, and when teams now, as they do, try and play it out from the back, Arsenal did it, Chelsea did it, and they're playing it around their own 6-yard box, and Liverpool are right up. Do they, if they want to push that far open teams, do they not have to play a high line?
No, because when I was a lad, Jimmy Murphy was a great coach, and his attitude was there should never be a certain distance between the back and the front. Do you know what I mean, Nathan? There's a distance, maybe it could be 30, 40 yards, between the back and the front. In other words, they're not too far back, and they're not too far forward. Like the high line now, it's an offside trap. In the old days, it was called an offside trap. And there's no need to do it. In my opinion, Nathan, There's no doubt, because Liverpool have a terrific team, and they're usually on the attack anyway, right? But occasionally they're not. And any time I've seen them, it's touch. When you're doing that high line, when there's no need to do it, and you've got quick back players, really quick back players, they'd never be caught, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know, you only need one fella to be half a yard out. It's touch. You know, it's you're taking a big chance on the half on the high line business. Really big chance that it's not necessary to do. So when you see a team who are matching Liverpool in a certain way, they will be cut out, and they were cut out the other night. Arsenal were reasonably good. Well, a good team. But
yeah.
There's no need. I'm only giving you my opinion. There's no need to do it. You're taking a chance. Once you do it, now when you track people down and you track the players down, you're not taking any chance. They have to beat you, and the Liverpool players are so good. Very, very few teams can beat them at any time in the way that they're doing it. So I just think, not just for Liverpool, but for any team, I think it's a risky, chancy business. But particularly for Liverpool, when there's no need for it with the players that they have.
John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Okay, Nathan. Thanks again. Bye.
John Giles with us every Thursday. Of course, two live Premier League games coming your way and off the ball this Sunday. Myself and Kenny Cunningham will bring you Arsenal against Sheffield United from 2:00, and then it's Manchester United against Spurs from 4:30. And just to let you know, it's still scoreless in that game involving Dundalk. 27 minutes gone against Klavsic. We'll be back to Will O'Callaghan throughout the next couple of hours, and Celtic 0-0 at halftime in their game in the Carabao Cup, scoreless between Liverpool and Arsenal.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See Dunluey.net.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.